This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
This is Betting Weekly Premier League Show. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, alongside me, Nigel Seeley and Jack Wright. EPL title race to discuss off the bat here, boys. Only 1 point between Arsenal and Manchester City. Nigel, is this the closest but most boring title race in history?
I lost interest in it as soon as Liverpool got beat. That was game over for me. I don't really care. Done me money. Brief story of every copy and paste every week for this season. But no, Man City are going to win it, aren't they? I mean, Man City are going to drop points. I can't see either of them really dropping points. But we'll come on to the Arsenal game in a little while. But I think it's... I'm Man City away, Jip, but it's I wanted a three-way race. Liverpool to come in it, really exciting, but wasn't to be. And as soon as Liverpool were out of the race, my interest just finished overnight.
Jack, is there a twist or a turn or a meander or a diversion to come between now and the end of the season?
I really can't see it. These two have been relentless, haven't they, to be fair? It does remind me, I mentioned it a few weeks ago, that title race a couple of years back, when Liverpool won Man City.
But that was exciting, wasn't it? That was one team does it, then the other team does it.
Well, these two are just winning game after game after game, aren't they? And they're winning it, and they're winning them well. I think where you might be coming around to the fact that it's a bit boring is that the games aren't really even close at the moment. There's no real jeopardy in it. And it's like relentless goals, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 performances week in, week out. So, no, I can't see either of them really having to slip up. There's a potential banana skin for City, but obviously got Spurs coming up, haven't they? But the way Spurs are at the moment, and possibly because of the fact that they don't want to hand the title to Arsenal if they did put in a performance, that don't even look like it's going to be much problem for them either.
Is it a case, Nigel, to a certain extent, we know City can do it? A few years ago, maybe, but they just do this, don't they? They win 8, 9, 10, 12 games on the spin at the end of the season.
They're the best team in Europe. I know the Champions League doesn't have the two Man City, but they're the best team the Premier League's ever seen. Last season, they were relentless. I didn't think they could do it again. They've done it again. They rested Haaland. He's come back, scored 4 goals. He hasn't played for 3 weeks. That's how good they are. I mean, Arsenal playing the same players week in and week out. Man City rested and bringing them in. Foden's been rested. He's going to be the player of the year. Just too good.
Arsenal have got United at the weekend, then Everton at home. City have got Fulham at the weekend, then Spurs both away, and then West Ham at home. There's no prices available, Nigel, for the last game of the season just yet. I've priced them up at around about 8s on each. They might even be shorter. If they were around about 8s on each for those final games of the season, we've got prices for the others on the BetRivers site, incidentally. It's around about even money for 5 wins out of 5. You'd be a player or a layer?
No, I'd probably be a small player. Wouldn't be the bet would be here though. If Man, Arsenal, Everton, haven't they? Final of the season, Man City play West Ham. Yeah?
West Ham at home, yeah.
Well, they'd be shorter than 8 on.
They'd be shorter, be 10s on, 12s on.
Probably much, yeah. Pretty shorter than that. The thing is, if Man City go into a 2-0 lead, then you might expect Arsenal not to win. Or they say they're 3-0 up. 4-0 up and it's 0-0 Arsenal, I'd be betting Everton to beat Arsenal.
Might be something to come on the final game
of the season. In play is definitely where the value lies in the final of that season. With goals going in elsewhere all over the place, that's where the real value lies.
Jack, would you have
your live show, that?
Yeah, it would be. I don't know if you're doing anything. We'll come to that shortly. Jack, would you have your show fee on the 5-timer at even money?
Fee? Oh, tell me about that. You get a fee? As I said, I can't see.
You'd be a layer, wouldn't you? You'd be a layer. You'd be sat in an office in a bookmaker's and someone said, I want all these 5 at even money. You'd lay that, wouldn't you?
Well, hang on a minute. This is an American show. Lay means to place a bet in American language. So Jack, Dan is saying he wants to fade. He wants to get opposed all 5 winners. I think there'll be 4. The only way I can see the teams drop in the final game is if the final game Man City are winning 3 or 4, then Everton may have a chance. Sorry to interrupt you there, Joe.
That's all right, Jack. Go on. Anything else to say before we move on?
Someone come with £5,000, Dan, and said, "Right, I want they're going to win all them 5 games. Are you taking
is that your fee?"
He's more than that. He's on. He's the second highest paid person on the show, mind you, Dan.
Speaking of parlays, BetRivers is giving you extra credit when you hit the crossbar each week. BetRivers is offering oh-so-close parlay insurance on EPL parlays of at least 4 legs. If your parlay comes up 1 leg short, BetRivers will give you part of your stake back as a bonus bet. Depending on your loyalty level, you can get as much as $100 of your stake back in a bonus bet. There are additional rules as well. So see your BetRivers app for full terms and conditions and get your weekly EPL parlay insured. We could have done without over the course of this season on a number of occasions.
My loyalty bonus is very, very high. And I could have done with that massively.
Check out that if you're playing the parlays for the final 2 weekends of the Premier League. Let's get some plays from the boys, shall we? We're going to start Spurs against Burnley, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK. Spurs short minus 315 here. Burnley is 7-1 pokes. Nigel, draw plus 525. Burnley surely down. Spurs probably ain't going to get Champions League. What's your take on this one?
Well, surely down. That could be some famous last words. This could be your contract's up in 2 matches, so we could see it could be on the box you've given. That could really be one of the biggest box of the season so far. If they don't win this match, they're down. They're relegated. That's it. They're finished. But they're desperate to want to keep it to the final of that season, play Nottingham Forest at home, because I think if they got that far, I think they'd beat Forest. So what we need here for Burnley supporters and fans, obviously they're owned by American owners, you would want Burnley to win this match, and then you want Nottingham Forest to not win or lose it. Their match against Chelsea, which is it was a possibility, which we're going to come on to in a minute. But I think this is a lot closer. I think 7-1 Burnley's a big price. I really do. I was looking at it, thought, so far that season, shall I just throw 5 points on it and go for a smash out at the end of the season? But I thought I better not. Better be a little bit conservative. But I do give Burnley a chance here. Tottenham are playing terrible at the moment. I mean, conceding an awful lot of goals. This is the worst run under Postecoglou. I think they've conceded 13 goals in the last 4 matches, 4 straight defeats. I know they've played some decent opposition in that. They've played the top sides. Conceded 4 against Liverpool as well. But Tottenham look leg weary. They look leg weary at the moment. They've got a lot of injuries to key players. Defensively, they've got injuries out. Werner is out. Davis is out. Madison is a doubt for this match as well. So I wouldn't be betting Tottenham at minus 315, because Tottenham do Tottenham things this time of the season. And, they're in that 5th place and, the Europa League position, but they've got 3 matches to play. They've got this one, then they've got Manchester City, which we've just touched on there. You can't really see them get anything from that. And then the final of that season, they play Sheffield United. I think 4 points will secure that 5th spot. And then you've got to rely that Newcastle will drop points. If Newcastle win all 3, they're in trouble. But Tottenham should, they're heavy favourites to finish 5th. They should finish 5th. But I think this is difficult. Burnley are going to be absolutely pumped. I know last week they were really disappointed in that defeat against Nottingham Forest. Who did they play last week?
Newcastle. Played well first 15, 20 minutes. They were all right, but then it fell apart.
Yeah, they played well in that match. But then all of a sudden, but prior to that, their form has been good. I mean, they've been sort of grinding out results, only lost 2 in their last 9. They've been the sort of side that I've bet. I saw sort of improvements in them, but that was just a freak result. Now this is the one offer. This is the biggest match of the season. It's the biggest match for the career, for the manager. The players have to go to Tottenham, and Tottenham have a history of losing these kind of matches before. Tottenham aren't in a great run. I couldn't really get involved. I wouldn't rule anybody off having a very, very small wager on Burnley at 7-1 on the money line. But I think if you're looking at this for the best angle, if you think the 7-1 is wrong, and I've said it before, the derivative markets are obviously clearly wrong. And I just think Burnley plus 1.75 goals here at minus 120 is huge. Absolutely huge. That means we can only lose if Tottenham, the whole stake is if Tottenham win by 3 goals or more at home to a Burnley side who need to win to stay in the Premier League. Obviously, if it's 2 goal margin, we get half our stake back as a push. So the only way we lose is if Tottenham win by 3 goals. I'm not having that. I think one side are fighting for their life. They're going to be absolutely up for this challenge. I know Tottenham are as well, but Tottenham do look edgy. It's been a long season for them. They started off with this new Ange ball. Everyone was getting behind them. The end of the season, they look tired, and I think they're looking for the break, and Burnley have to win. So I think plus 1.75 goals is a big price here. I don't think the relegation factor has been factored into the price as much, because I think if this game was played maybe 7 or 8 weeks ago, what price would Burnley be? I don't think they'd be much different. 8-1 maybe. Tottenham would be minus 350. Not far different. But the factor is that Burnley need to win this match to stay in the Premier League. It's the only chance they have. They have to win it. And it hasn't been factored into the price. And I don't think Tottenham's run at the moment has been factored into the price. I think goals are in the cards. I think Burnley will go at it. But as I said, over history, these kind of matches, minus 350, Tottenham are not the team you want to be putting your money on at those kind of odds.
Just by the way, on this one, Nigel, the Asian gold line here is 4. It's around about even money for 4, which means you've got to get you got to get 5 goals to cash fully. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
Burnley do concede an awful lot of goals, and they've got goals in them now. They've scored 8 in their last night, and they've scored in 8 of their last 9 matches. So you would expect goals, but Tottenham have got some big injuries here. The big injuries. Madison is a doubt, I said. Werner's out, obviously. They've got Son. Yeah, that's just. I just think there's something about this match. I don't think Tottenham at minus 330 in an end-of-season match. Not for me.
Everton versus Sheffield United for Jack to tackle first. This game again, 10 a.m. Eastern. Everton short price minus 265, Sheffield United plus 700 here, draw plus 420. Jack, you cashed a goal scorer bet for us last week with a striker against his former team, and we go again here, don't we? Different player though.
Indeed, yeah, I'm going with Dominic Calvert-Lewin here, a player that we've kind of been quite negative about over the course of the season, but I've liked what I've seen in recent games. They've seemed to have managed his fitness, they've got him back playing and looking like the player that was certainly next in line to Harry Kane for England. Those maybe, what, 3 seasons ago, something like that, 2 or 3 seasons ago. He's plus 112 to score at any time here. And I'm taking on. I was really tempted to play Everton to win 2-0, which was plus money as well. It's probably one of my favourite stats of the season. There's been a lot, but it's probably one of my favourite stats of the season about them winning 2-0 over the course of the last, which, well, they do that here. It'll be 2 seasons straight where every home win has been 2-0. I just feel that Sheffield United possibly have a goal in, and we've talked about them recently as well, haven't they? The puncher's chance of maybe sneaking a goal. So I've gone instead with Calvert-Lewin to get on the score sheet. Let's remind ourselves we're against the Sheffield United side here, who are now statistically the worst defensively side in the Premier League's history. 100 goals conceded in a 38-game season. I believe the last time that happened was in something like 1906. So a few years ago, even before our time, which says a lot, setting records, and they will set the record as far as in the entire Premier League history, even with a 42-game season. So for me, Calvert-Lewin is, I say, 4 goals in his last 5 games. His previous 4 took him 38 games to score. So that is great in itself. But for me, the real thing is the eye test. Watched him a couple of times recently. He bullied Konate at Liverpool, showing his physicality again, which is what made him so good. His pace, his power, his aerial ability as well. And against Luton, yes, he scored from a penalty spot. But the one thing that really impressed me is they tossed the ball into the box. And he reminded me, like he did back in the day, of like Cristiano Ronaldo, CR7. The ability to leap and the hang time that he got from it. And he powered a header at goal, which produced a great save from Kaminski. But I just feel that he has got the tools here to cause Sheffield United a problem, who do concede goals for fun. I think the last home game of the season for Everton fans will just be a big, big atmosphere. I think that what we're looking at here is that I fancy Everton to win this and win this well. They want to make sure that they go out and reward their supporters by putting in a big performance and a big win. And I think they're going to score 2-3 goals in this one. If they do that, Calvert-Lewin will be amongst the goals. I say they've won their last 4 at home. I think they're going to make it 5 on the spin here. And let's remember that they would actually be 13th if they didn't have those points deductions. So they're actually performed over the course of the season a lot better. And since April, they're actually in the top 4 as far as their form is concerned. It's been a great end to the season. And having a fit and firing Calvert-Lewin back again has been a large part of that. So Calvert-Lewin on the score sheet for me at plus 112.
Yeah, I think his expected goal figure is around about 12. He's got 7 this season, so a bit of regression upwards. He's a good striker. Got a quiz for you. You ready? Fingers on buzzers, Nigel?
Oh, he'd have cheated. He'd have cheated.
Yeah.
He'd have cheated.
Fingers on buzzers.
He'd have cheated.
Are you ready?
I'm not playing after that. I'm not playing anymore.
How much did Everton pay for Dominic Calvert-Lewin from
Sheffield
United?
Not as much as Jack gets to come on his show.
September 16. How much? How much?
16. That's a while.
Come on, Jack.
Jack's trying to make out he doesn't know anything.
Come on.
Come on. 50 grand.
No. Nigel?
Nigel, probably about, I don't know, somewhere about $1.75 million.
$1.5 million.
Was it?
Yeah.
What's the relevance of that question? What's the point of that?
I just wanted to quiz in.
If it was like two tracksuits and a bag of footballs, I'd understand the relevance of the question. Or if it was like 25 million, I'd understand. But $1.5 million is just a random.
I just think that's I think that's quite good value for DCL. 54 goals in 211. We were just talking about it from a betting point of view. Anyway, let's move on.
Nigel's not happy with the quizzes. 2 minutes of my life, I'm never getting back.
All right. Here's another 2 minutes. We've got Nigel on Wolves versus Crystal Palace next. Palace are +145, Nigel. Wolves +188. The draw +245. This is 10 a.m. Saturday as well. Palace are favourites here, Nigel. They've been in great form. Are we sticking or twisting with Oliver Glasner's side?
I'm sticking with them. Sticking with them. I mean, obviously they played Manchester United, which was great for myself and Jack. I went a bit safe side, going on the draw, no bet market. Jack went on the money line and they won convincingly, didn't they? But I think that was the best start in 11, or the first time this season that Palace had been able to put out the full start, their strongest start in 11. They were exceptional. I've mentioned these players before, Elise, and we've heard Eze every time we talk about Crystal Palace, but now they've got some other real good players as well. Wharton is a solid player. I mean, I really think he's going to be a future international. And the big problem for Glasner and Palace is keeping these players. Mateta up front as well. Gayo at the back is back as well now. So they look a real solid unit. I mean, they really are Palace. They're a great side. And they've got confidence behind them. A manager plays in a great style of football which suits every one of these teams. Palace has got the feel-good factor. The two teams here coming into this match in totally different forms. I mean, Wolves just want the season to end and Crystal Palace want it to just continue forever. Wolves have only won one in their last nine matches, which is against Luton. 5-1 against Manchester City in their last match where they were completely outclassed. But home defeats, and Wolves have always been pretty good at home, and you'd always think to yourself, oh, Wolves want a new packed out crowd might be tough. I know it's their last home game of the season, but home defeats against Coventry in the FA Cup, West Ham, Bournemouth would be a little bit of a worry for me. Wolves have injuries as well. Lamina and Neto are out of doubts for this match. They lack of goals, which we've highlighted many times on this show. Palace come in just full of it. You know, and on the road, I think Palace are more dangerous the way they play, the way they counter-attack, the way Eze is and Elise is. They glide through players on the counter-attacking style. It's beautiful to watch. Four wins, one draw, 13 goals in their last five matches. And obviously they went to Liverpool and won 1-0 and a 1-1 draw with Fulham as well in their last two road matches where they should have won that very, very easily. I just think this is the feel-good fact that continues. I think Glasner will want everyone to keep going. I don't think there'll be any drop in standards. They must be on an absolute high after smashing Manchester United, but they went off at minus money favourites. You know, talk about crazy prices in the Premier League. That was justified, that one. But minus money, Crystal Palace. There is a rebase on Crystal Palace now. They're starting favourites for this match here, and rightly so, against the Wolves side that, you know, have started off really well in the season, but dropped down their standards. So Palace are a sort of a public player at the moment with a lot of people. And I think that continues. I wanted to take Palace on the draw, no bet market, at -125 and get the draw on my side because this wouldn't surprise me to see this end 2-2 or 1-1 in a kind of a sort of typical end-of-season match. And the line's changed a little bit, so I'm not really happy about that. It's gone down to -134. So that would probably be on the parameter of whether I stay or whether I leave it. But -134, I can just about take a bit of that, get the draw on my side. Wouldn't put anybody off taking Palace on the money line, but the draw does worry me in this match. I expect goals. Palace continue this brilliant run and Wolves just heading for the break to Dubai in a few weeks' time.
If, Nigel, Palace keep Elise, Eze, Wharton, and the rest of what, as you've just described, there is a pretty good squad, are you a buyer or a seller at nine, finishing position next season?
You've got to be less than nine because you've got to be less than nine. I think that's a bad line because
where would you pitch the line?
Well, they can't finish in the top seven, can they? I mean,
no, next season.
That's what I'm saying. Next season, they can't finish in the top seven. I mean, the top six, seven places are pretty much guaranteed. So the bet would be whether you think they're in the top half.
Top half.
I think top half would be the bet. I'd bet them.
So 10's the line.
I think 10. I think it's top half side because you're really only playing for a couple of places. The top six is pretty much guaranteed. 7, 8 with Newcastle, Man United will bounce back. Chelsea will have a better season. They can't really compete with them. But I think top half, yeah, more than capable. And they'll probably be looking to win a cup or try to push on. Whether they can keep those.
Whether players, they can keep them, that's the question,
isn't it? That's the question. I mean, Elise's already been linked with three clubs already. I mean, Chelsea are after him. Aston Villa want to make a bid. And I think Arsenal have been linked with him. Eze, I've always heard that Tottenham are big fans of Eze. When he was at QPR, they rejected a bid from Tottenham originally. And I know Tottenham would be very keen. And he's a London boy. He wants to stay in London. So I think it'd be really, really difficult for him to keep. Both of them virtually impossible.
I think Chelsea were going to buy him, weren't they, start of the season? They got injured, unfortunately. Let's get to Forest Chelsea, because I'll ask about the line for Chelsea as well for next season from the boys. But they agree here when it comes to a money line play. Forest, not yet safe, as Nigel has suggested earlier, as we know from the table. They're plus 260 here. Chelsea are minus money favourites, minus 103 at the moment, minus money six times this season away from home. If you've been level staking, you've been losing money. But the boys are playing Chelsea here. What's changed? Jack, you can go first. Chelsea is the play here.
Yeah, what's changed? Chelsea have changed. They've become consistent. Look, Pochettino, I think we're all on the agreement that he's a great coach, especially with younger players. He's been given a massive squad full of young players. He's had to wheedle out what he didn't like, what he did want. There's been plenty of injuries in there as well. It's been chop and change. And some things maybe... blessing in disguise is the fact he's had a lot of injuries to contend with, and it's actually thinned out his availability of his players. So he's had a fairly settled 1-11, and it's borne through. And they've got some great players that are in good form, and I think they'll have too much for Forest. Forest won last week, we know that, beat Sheffield United. I think they were a little fortunate. I think they could have gone in a couple of goals down at half-time, ended up going in all square, and ended up winning the game. But look, Sheffield United, let's remind ourselves, conceded 100 goals this season, 16 points on the board. That price we talked about last week, which was a ridiculous price on Forest, was based on the fact that it was against Sheffield United, not how good Forest were or are. And I think Chelsea are now in the best form of the season. They've only won one defeat in the last 12, and that came against Arsenal away. So no disgrace in that. So Pochettino's getting a tune out of the players. Palmer's had 30 goal involvements this season, which is a phenomenal return for a 21-year-old. Nicholas Jackson, he's come in for a lot of stick over the course of the campaign, but I think people forget how young he is as well. And he only had a bit of a hot streak last season in La Liga before being snapped up by Chelsea, probably as a more of a bit part player because Nkunku was their star signing and he's been having to play more and more games. But he's now finding his feet, as you'd expect, first season abroad. It's starting to come right for him and he's hitting goals. And I think he will be streaky till the end of the season like he was last season in La Liga. And I think certainly one to watch for next season as far as your goal markets and your anti-posts concern if he gets some decent game time. But I think for this is a bad timing for Forest and playing the Chelsea side that are now banging the hunt for a European place, probably unexpectedly. They're now up to seventh. They've got an absolute chance to catch one or both the two teams in front of them. I think especially Tottenham, who have said are tanking towards the end of the season. They're bang level on goal difference. They're, yes, a few points behind, but with a couple of hard games for Tottenham coming up, I think Chelsea can take advantage, but they can't afford to slip up. They need to keep the foot on the gas and win their remaining three fixtures. That starts at the City Ground against Nottingham Forest, and I love that line. Money line, minus 103.
Nigel?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I thought Sheffield United should have been way ahead against Forest last week at halftime. They had so many chances and couldn't score. They did take the early lead, but they couldn't hold on to it. And Forest were very fortunate to win that match. They didn't play very well. The couple of things I like about this match as well is that Forest could actually be safe from the drop when this match kicks off. If West Ham beat Luton and Tottenham beat Burnley, then Forest are safe. So I think that has a massive impact in this match here. So that will change the whole of the betting on this match completely. If Forest are safe, Chelsea will start around about minus 150. The reason this is priced at minus 103 is because there is the fact that Forest have to win. Well, Forest might not have to win if the results go against them or go for them. We're against us because obviously we want Burnley to do well against the Tottenham game. But they could be safe from the drop when this match kicks off on Saturday night. The other thing I like about this bet as well is if you look at Forest at home this season, they've played 9 teams in the top half of the table. They've lost 8 and won 1. Lost 8. They haven't even drawn. They lost 8 against the top sides. Who was the only team in the top half that beat them at home? They beat at home. That's a better question than your one, Dan.
United?
Newcastle.
No, it was the only team that beat them. The only team they beat was Aston Villa at home. That's the only team. They've lost every other match against every team in the
top half.
Not
as good as my DCL quiz.
Much better. No, the only trouble for Chelsea is they haven't won in 6 on the road. That is a little bit of concern for me. But the last 2 wins have been so emphatic. Scoring goals, looking good again. The crowd seem to be a little bit happy. Not happy with the manager still, but happy with these young players. And they're going to give them another go. They're going to try with it. I think they'll do very well next season, Chelsea. And I quite like Jackson here to score any time. I was going to put him in to score any time. He's plus 175. But I think I'd rather wait, because if Forest are safe, then all those prop markets will probably be the last thing to alter in the betting. Everybody will be betting the money line. Everyone will be betting the handicap, the Asian stuff, and the prop markets might still be there. And I think that would enhance Chelsea's chances of winning if Forest are safe, and also enhance their chances of scoring more goals. So I'll be looking at Cole Palmer at plus 165 to score any time, Jackson at plus 175 to score any time. And that will only be the scenario if West Ham beat Luton and Tottenham beat Burnley, which could happen.
You mentioned Chelsea next season. What will be the line here? Then I pitched it at 6 over and under. What do you think, Nigel?
Well, again, what's the best they can finish? 4th, isn't it, really? It's the best they can probably finish. I think 6 is about right.
You'd be a seller at 6 and hope to get top 4, top 5?
I can't see. This is probably the worst season they're going to have, and they could finish 6th or 7th. So the downside of that is very low, isn't it? The upside is quite minimum. I think 5th, 6th will probably be the target. Champions League football is obviously the target. They could finish 4th. I mean, they're going to close the gap on Villa, surely.
How much did Nicholas Jackson cost Chelsea, Nigel?
I don't care.
Hang on, the producer saying we can't have any more player transfer quizzes. Sorry, we'll have to move on. What do you think next
You're
season?
Up for transfer in the summer if you carry on with this. You're up for transfer. You're a free offer. No one wants you. You're right.
I'm a free. I'm a Bosman.
That's why you're only on a year contract. I'm on a Bosman.
What do we think next season? Are you sort of excited for Chelsea next season? You might get involved in the summer when it comes to some of the prices, top 6, top 8, top 8, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think Tottenham win the trophy, yeah. Definitely. Sorry, Jack.
No. I'd be pro Chelsea next season. Yeah, I think that there's a good chance to be top 4. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Liverpool. Obviously, new manager going in, possibly maybe without Salah. Couple of other little pieces going on there. So that'll be interesting to see how they get on next season. As we said, Villa unlikely to perform as well as they've done this season. Jury's still out on the likes of Spurs. I think Man United will be similar to what they are this season. And that will open up an opportunity. And as I say, with how Chelsea have progressed through the course of the campaign, I can't see them having as bad a season last season. So I'd certainly be looking for them to break into the top 5, top 4, maybe even higher if they can get things working well and stick with Pochettino. I think we'll do them a decent service, but certainly a cup. And as I said in my piece there, I like Jackson next season, having had a year to get himself stabilised and used to it and firing as well. But obviously Nkunku back would possibly limit his game time on that one. But I'll be pro Chelsea next season.
The other thing, Dan, as well, is there's also rumours that Man City could have a point deduction. So that would make... Very, very interesting. If Man City, the financial fair play penalise them, I think next season
it could be
already,
National League North.
Yeah, I think it
could be in a match bet with Hyde United.
Yeah, and Solihull Motors. I think the two teams that for next season will impress or go. I think Tottenham and Chelsea will be the two teams that will kick on next year.
How was last weekend at Solihull Motors? It was a rubbish game, but you got your car through the MOT.
Car was sorted out. It's lovely. Great.
One more game to preview.
I was in there. Give me an M. Give me an O. Give me a T. Give me an O. And everyone looking at me. What's going on here?
Give me an MOT.
Yeah, give me an MOT.
One more game to look at. It's a big one as well. Manchester United versus Arsenal, 11:30 Sunday. This is not Keane versus Vieira. That's for certain these days. United 6-1. Arsenal -250, draw +440. I mean, we were just talking before we came on air, Nigel. I mean, this is the biggest price that United have been for a home game any era, any competition. I mean, ever, whenever prices started, you know, being offered for football matches. And I presume that's, you know, 100 years. Like, 6-1 about United just seems incredible for a home game.
Well, it shows you the state they're in at the moment, doesn't it? I mean, that it will be the biggest home price they've ever been. And I think the other factor here is that the draw is such a big price that the teams coming to them, like, I mean, Arsenal are -$3 with books to win this match. I mean, that is just unheard of. I mean, that's you know, no team will ever be start stronger favour. Even I think Man City might have been around. What price were Man City when they went to Arsenal? When they went to
this season?
Yeah, it wouldn't have been far off that, you know.
Yeah, they weren't. United weren't 6-1. I think the United were about 4-1.
Yeah,
about +400, +350, +400.
But I mean, it's sort of odds of -245. It's the reason why they like that price is because the tie is such a big price. So the percentage of the home side is you know, the tie is no good for anybody really. So that's why no one bets the tie. But -245 is just ridiculous. I mean, it's crazy levels. But you know, I think I'm going to have a little bit of a different opinion to Jack on this match. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes on this one.
Well, look, we've got an official play from Jack here. Well, Jack, take it away. What is the play here for Manchester United versus Arsenal?
My play is Arsenal on the Asian handicap, -1.5 goals at +106. So we need Arsenal to win by 2 or more goals here. And I felt this would cause a little bit of a ruffle on this show as well. I love the bet personally. I think this is a winner, but I also knew that Nigel wouldn't. I guessed that Nigel wouldn't like it. It's not his cup of tea at all.
He's in a good mood on the show, Nigel.
It's not that I don't like the bet. It's just that the fact that I don't think there's all the stats you're going to tell us, which I'm looking forward to hear, are going to make this bet an absolutely brilliant bet, right? No doubt about it. But I just can't ever bring myself to bet a team to win by more than 2 goals at Old Trafford, however bad Man United are playing. But anyway, you take it away.
Come on, Jack, persuade us.
I think there's been a bit of money coming for United, isn't it? Because yesterday they were -2 Arsenal, -1.5 when I put the picks in last night. I think they're -1.25 now. So it is going the way of United. I don't know if that's like people have heard team news or whatever. I couldn't give a monkeys really, to be fair, because I just don't see Man United having any say in this match whatsoever. I think Arsenal could have an absolute field day because the players that are on display, the players that are on show here are just so suited to taking out this United side. Man United are lazy. They're disjointed. They're not a team. They're a shambles. And Arsenal are the complete opposite of that. They've got energy. They've got drive in the middle of the park. The likes of Declan Rice. You saw it last week against Bournemouth. 2-0 up, 97 minutes on the clock, and he's bursting into the box, getting onto the end of a through ball to make it 3-0. And that's the kind of drive, and that's what they
Unders want. Unders backers are absolutely crying at that. Anyway, there you go on, sorry.
Oh, yeah. And I was one of them, unfortunately. So, they owe me. But it's, like I say, I think Arsenal are motivated here to go and keep their foot on United's throat. They're on their knees at the moment, United. That performance against Crystal Palace, well, was it a performance? It was just disgusting, wasn't it, really? You've got their experienced players making mistakes in the middle of the park, dawdling back. Oh, and he's gone through and he scored a goal and then gone and turned around and pointed a finger at someone else. And that's the kind of setup that is there at this moment in time, which is just like poisonous. It's just horrible to see. I think defensively, they're all over the place. They've got no fit centre-backs, really. Johnny Evans, who wasn't good enough for United, 5-10 years ago, is effectively only centre-back available. There might be, I don't know if there's going to be fitness availability from others. In the wide areas, Wan-Bissaka and Dalot all over the place. And look at Arsenal, what they've got in those wide areas. Saka, Trossard, if not, then they could bring in Jesus. They've got Havertz in great form at the minute and thriving with confidence, his movement, his aerial ability, he's scoring goals. We've obviously got Saka, Odegaard, Rice. You can go on and on and on about the players and the style of play that Arsenal have got against them. And I just don't think Man United will be interested to track back. How much interest have they got in the rest of the league season? Are they going, I don't want to miss an FA Cup final? Maybe that's something to do with it. A lot of United fans are talking about, they're worried about the revenge of that 8-2 that they inflicted on Arsenal a few seasons ago. Now, I don't think it's going to be that high, But you know what I mean? It could be an absolute basketball score for Arsenal in this one because they've got so much going forward. No clean sheet in 9 for Man United. 2 clean sheets in the Premier League since mid-December. That's 18 games. Absolutely crazy stuff. We talked about Dubai briefly a little while ago, going on a nice little break, come back refreshed. That's what Arsenal did. And their away form since they've come back from that midwinter break, exceptional away from home. 1-7 and drawn 1 of their 8 games. That draw was against Manchester City. So it actually was a good result, even though it wasn't a win. They've won those games by aggregate scoreline of 27-3. That's average supremacy of 3 goals per game across that period of time, across those 8 games. And over the last 6 games, they would have won the -1.5 handicap in 5 of those. And the only one they didn't was that Manchester City away game. So for that reason, I have to take Arsenal on here because I just think that they're going to win this very, very comfortably. And there it is, at +106 or -1.5.
Is it just the prices here, Nigel? The reasoning is sound from Jack, as it always is. Yeah, is it just the prices?
The nature of the match doesn't inspire me. If Arsenal needed to close some goal difference, I could get it. I think I could make a little bit of a case for it. They don't need to win 3 or 4. They need to win the match, right? The other thing is that Man United, however bad they are, which they've been dreadful at Old Trafford, they've been all right. They've only lost once since Boxing Day, and that's 9 matches. So they're pretty good. All their best form is at home. The key factor here for Man United, and I think the team is Fernandes. They reckon Fernandes will play in this match. Rashford apparently might be back as well. That gives Man United a little bit more cutting edge going forward. Man United have no problem scoring goals, and that will be a worry for me if I'm taking -1.5 or if I'm taking -2 or -2.5. Whenever you've got a high handicap, the fact that you're playing against a side that can score worries me. And I think Man United will score here. So that means that Arsenal have got to score 3 for you to collect. I know that Arsenal, Manchester United are conceding goals, but that does worry me. I like to take big, heavy handicaps or major handicaps when I know that the chance of the team not scoring is very, very high. And the other thing that does, I know this is a bad Manchester United side, but there is history between these two, and this is Man United's last home game of the season. So I can't see them not, and you saw the support that they had after the match at Crystal Palace.
So they've got Newcastle at home.
Oh, they've got one more.
Yeah. It's a midweek game, isn't it? Yeah.
You've got to go back. I think this is the last time that Manchester United lost by more than 2 goals or more at home to Arsenal is a run of 55 matches. 55 matches, and Arsenal have never covered a 2-goal line. The last time it was in 1979 in the old First Division.
Great stat.
Alan Sunderland scored 2 goals. 55 games before that Arsenal had beaten Man United by more than 1 goal. So history is against Jack. I know this is the worst side ever, but I think that Arsenal would be very happy to do 1-0 to the Arsenal. Get the job done. Keep Man United and just get it at 3 points. I don't think they need to push. I don't think they need to go all out. They need to get a win. I understand the logic. I get it. This is the worst Man United side and all the stats that Jack made out. But I just think there's something different when these two take to the pitch here. And we saw it when Man United played Liverpool earlier in the season. It was a 0-0 draw at Anfield, which was at the time Liverpool were flying and scoring goals. They've got the capability of doing it in a one-off match. And I just feel there's a bounce back after that disappointing performance. As I've said many times in this show, there is a bounce back ability sort of thing. And I think you might see it. So I'm cheering for Jack. I wouldn't bet it. I'm not going to bet either of them. But I'll cheer for Jack for the figures. But I do think 1.5 is a little bit much.
Mm. I think Alan Sunderland would score against this Man United side at the moment. Not sure where they signed him from.
And he's 75.
Yeah. How much did he cost us? No. Brilliant stuff. We love difference of opinions. Jack is the pick that goes into the book, but you might want to fall on Nigel's side of the line. It's completely up to you. Head to the Bet Rivers site for the latest prices. Take advantage of that parlay insurance as well. Before we go, best bets of the weekend, match week 37. Nigel.
I've got a parlay for you if you want the parlay for the parlay.
Yes, get the parlay for the insurance. Come on in.
Right, we'll go Burnley +1.75.
And we'll guess which one's going to let it down.
Asian handicap. Newcastle on the money line.
Yeah.
Over 3.5 goals in Fulham v Man City and Chelsea to beat Forest. Plays about 10-1. That'll do. Parlay boost. Get them parlay.
There we go. Lovely that. I've got a bit of insurance there as well.
And my best bet, Burnley +1.75 goals.
And Jack, what's your best play?
I'm going to go with Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, you had to go with Arsenal. Come on, you've got to put up Arsenal as the best place.
Best Chelsea. Arsenal's going to win, you know what I mean? I mean, like, me and Nigel have been on the same hymn sheet for too often this the back end of the season, so it's good to have a difference of opinion. But the one we do agree on this week is the one I'm going to put forward as my best bet.
Yeah, that's the two-unit play, Chelsea to beat Forest on Saturday. That's a 12:30 game, incidentally, so just after midday stateside. Nigel, Jack, thanks for your company. Good luck with your picks. That is a wrap for Match Day 37. Of Betting Weekly Premier League Show. We'll be back next week for the final preview of this evening. Nigel, we've got something special, haven't we, for the Sunday of the final week of the Premier League season, this campaign. What have we got? What are you doing?
Yeah, we're going to do a live in-play betting show instead of the reaction show Sunday afternoon. So as the goals go in, we'll give you all the updates of the odds with Bet Rivers. Hopefully there's a lot at stake at the bottom and the top of the Premier League. It may all be done and dusted by then, but hopefully there'll be some intriguing games. And we might get a scenario where we get like the Man City year when they won the title with Aguero scoring the goal. So all the ins and outs, all the betting ups and downs, and all the best picks in play will be available on there. And also head to the Instagram account as well. Lots of in-play stuff on there from Jack, Steve on the soccer, myself and Sean Calvert on the tennis as well, doing in-play picks on there as well.
Brilliant stuff. Who's on the lineup for the last day?
I think
season?
It's to be confirmed, but it's. I think it's gonna the provisional lineup is myself, Jack, Steve Risch, and Neil Channing. Neil Channing.
What about the good Lord?
Who's the good Lord?
Simon.
No. I might the reason I might not be able to do it, but I will have to see. But
Simon might be called upon then.
No, Simon. We're sticking with the lineup we said there.
I'm looking forward to that last minute goal when Steve Wiss whirling his shirt round his head.
Oh no, please.
Come on.
I saw Peter Kay and it reminded me of Steve Wiss the other day, Peter Kay. But come on, Steve.
Brilliant stuff. Look forward to that. We're back next week with the usual preview show. We've got the live show for you the following Sunday. For now, though, from all of us, it's goodbye.